Now I do. Okay. We could proceed to the argument in the first case. I remind counsel to identify themselves by name and attorney registration number when they come to the podium. I'd ask everyone in the courtroom to turn off any pagers or cell phones they might have so as not to disrupt the arguments in these cases. With that, you may begin.
May it please the court, David Lichtenstein, number 11408, appearing on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, Marion Brewer. The main issue in this case is what does the phrase limit of liability in former, as it appears in former subsection 5A of the uninsured motorist statute mean, and specifically, what does it include where there are multiple coverages involved that are required to be stacked under the provisions of the statute? Our Supreme Court in the State Farm versus Progressive case held that for purposes of subsection 4, that includes, that phrase limits of liability includes all policies that are required to be stacked. In other words, policies including the insured and another person who's not a resident relative. In the same subsection 5, if we use the same definition, then Liberty can't rely on the definition in its policy. We have to look at the statutory definition.
Why?
Well, because the statute mandates coverages. What the statute does is to lay down what are the required coverages under Colorado law. If you have a policy that doesn't comply with the statute, that policy is not going to be enforceable.
Doesn't the statute, 609 fundamentally says this is the minimum coverage, 100,000, and this provision says this is the maximum liability. Isn't there a difference?
Well, a maximum liability is mandated. Under the term of the statute.
Right, so that's the maximum liability. You might have less liability than that, right? Well, I mean, Liberty might.
I disagree. I mean, reading Section 5, it says the maximum shall be. The maximum liability of the insurer under the UIM coverage shall be the lesser of.
Maximum liability. So if the policy says $100,000, and these two formulas result in 200,000. The lesser of the two is 200,000. Does that mean Liberty has to provide 200,000 even though the limits of its policy say 100,000?
Well, yes. I mean, it's a required maximum. They can't go below a maximum. That's why it says shall.
A maximum meant you can't go above. The most liability Liberty would have would be based on these formulas. And if one of these formulas said 200,000, if the lesser of the two said 200,000, your position, as I understand it then, is Liberty's liability would be 200,000, even though its policy says 100,000. Am I correct? I mean, is that your argument?
That's my argument, because if you read it another way, there's no minimum. In other words, you could have illusory coverage under the Liberty policy that somehow takes away entirely with one clause what's given with another clause.
Mr. Finkelstein, doesn't it the policy that Brewer had state that the limit of liability shown in the declarations is our maximum limit for all damages, and the limits of liability shall be reduced by all sums paid because of bodily injury? And so forth. What does all that mean?
Well, again, I think that's where we run up against the policy of the State Farm case. That's where we run headlong into the policy of the State Farm case, which requires a different construction and says that the limits have to include all of the coverage that are required to be stacked.
But I take it that you're relying on State Farm versus Progressive.
Yes.
Why should we follow State Farm versus Progressive?
Is it
the same provisions in both cases?
It's the same phrase, and under the Sigala case, which I cited in my reply brief, when construing a statute, you should construe the same phrase the same way for all purposes under the statute.
Oh, when you're speaking of the same phrase, the limit of liability phrase?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let me ask you, is it the same phrase? One is limit of liability, the other is limits of liability. Does that suggest that limits of liability suggests you take into consideration more policies or the stack policies, whereas limit of liability you might not?
That's one possible reasonable construction, but there's a competing reasonable construction. And again, when you look at the introduction to Section 5, it says the maximum liability insurer under the UIM coverage provided shall be the lesser of. Now, when we look in subsection A and we took it at the phrase limit of UIM coverage, it's not modified by coverage provided by the insurer. It's a more expansive phrase.
Can I ask you, if these were two Colorado insurance companies with the same UIM coverage or UIM coverages, and basically under your formula, that first one would be 300,000 plus 100,000 minus 100,000 would be 300,000, is that correct?
Yes.
Would anybody get an offset under your formula? Because the first insurance company, they provide 300,000 under the maximum liability coverage. You do that formula, you come up with 300,000, so they're still on the hook for 300,000. The other insurance company, Liberty, you do that formula, 300,000 is greater than 100,000. They're on the hook for 100,000. Could anybody get an offset if these were Colorado insurance companies?
Well, yes, I think they could, and I think 5A is explicit on that point, because you're looking at the difference of the limit of the coverage and the amount paid by the insured.
Okay, so do the formula for me for both of these companies and tell me, you know, whether or not they would have got an offset.
Well, somebody gets an offset, and I think because if you read the phrase, as I urge, limit of uninsured motorist coverage, you're looking at the combined 400,000 in your hypothetical. Well, someone's entitled to an offset from that aggregate limit under this 5A, and the question is who gets it or whether it gets prorated. And I think that's going to depend on whether one policy is excess, for example, or whether it.
But under the formula that I thought you gave us, is if these were both Colorado cases or Colorado insurance companies, 400,000 minus the 100,000 paid by the tortfeasor comes up with a figure of 300,000. You turn to the USAA type of insurance company and say 300,000. Gee, that's what your policy says. Pay us the 300,000. You turn to Liberty and say 100,000. That's what your policy says. Pay us.
Well, there are cases that say that you can't try to perform that math separately on two different uninsured policies. A number of the early cases say that that's just not how we count against uninsured coverage. So the statute's been construed otherwise.
So let me understand, Mr. Lichtenstein. So do I understand correctly then that your argument is not that you can never take an offset, but rather that if you take an offset, it must be prorated?
Well, I think in the hypothetical that Judge Daly posits, that's true, because again, we're talking about two Colorado insurers. We don't have an out-of-state insurer that effectively bumps up the UIM coverage by adding the liability coverage of the tortfeasor to the UIM coverage.
So in our case, it's actually different. In our case, USAA cannot take the offset, and therefore you're saying therefore Liberty Mutual gets no offset. So if they're both Colorado companies, they prorate the offset, but if one's a Colorado company and the other's a Nebraska company, then nobody gets the offset. Is that your argument?
Well, under Nebraska law, there's no offset. Nebraska law is clear on that.
Right.
And then with the State Farm case, and I'm getting around to answering your question, yes. under Nebraska, by operation of Nebraska law, what's going on is that the 410 is implicated for Ms. Brewer. The language of the State Farm case says that we're not going to construe coverage to or construe the uninsured motorist statute to deprive an injured party of coverages that are guaranteed by other insurers. And again, by operation of Nebraska law, Ms. Brewer was guaranteed that $410,000. So if we take away from her through the offset what's given her by operation of Nebraska law, we've run up against the policy that the State Farm case lays out.
So let me, and I'm honestly just trying to understand, because I obviously have problems with understanding your analysis. So is your argument then that under Nebraska law, nobody gets an offset in this case, neither Liberty nor USAA is entitled to an offset by application of Nebraska law, and by operation of Colorado law, under the stacking discussion under basically under 5A and B, their liability is at least $100,000?
At least and at most, because that is the face amount of the coverage, yes.
Okay. And so the maximum liability formula is still subject to the policy limits. That is 5A, which says the maximum liability. That is not establishing, that does not establish a maximum liability in excess of the policy limits itself.
Well, yes. I mean, that's, I think any other construction of 5A would be, you know, probably nonsensical.
Thank you.
Let me follow up with Justice Coates' opinion from the Supreme Court. And I think he says that the question turns on the meaning of the phrase limits, that's plural,
right,
for uninsured motorist coverage under the insurance policy in subsection 4's definition of underinsured motor vehicle. And more particularly, whether the word limits, plural, in this phrase refers only to the limits of the underinsured motorist coverage per person and per accident specified in the declarations of the injured party's policy. What does he mean? What's he talking about there?
If you could cite me a page, Your Honor.
Oh, I think I printed the opinion out, and it's page 4 of 8.
Oh. No, maybe you could give me the first couple words in that paragraph.
Ultimately, the answer to this question turns on the meaning of the phrase limits for the uninsured motorist coverage. That's the first part of the first sentence of the paragraph.
Bailiff, please stop the clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Justice Revere, are you referring to the Roman numeral 4?
Three.
Okay.
The third paragraph of Roman numeral 3.
Well, that's the basic question that the case is resolving, is whether we're looking at limits of only the insurance policy with the insurer versus limits of all of the insured's applicable UIM coverages that must be stacked.
Your view is as a matter.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened in State Farm. I'd like to try and reserve some time for rebuttal, but if there's pressing questions, I'll be happy to take them on.
Well, counsel, I was going to give you an extra 2 minutes anyway. So if you want to go for two more minutes, you're going to have 2 minutes after that, because we have taken up a lot of your questions.
Okay,
a lot
of your time. I appreciate it, but of course that's important. So let me very quickly address the waiver issue. That we know that Liberty acknowledged as early as March 2008 that there was coverage under the policy. It began receiving medical records. It received medical records in May of 2008. It wrote that it was in contact with the USAA adjuster. Liberty found out on July 21st of the settlement with USAA in which the offset was not taken. Even after that, 2 weeks later, it continues to ask for medical records. There was no mention or reservation of rights of any kind with respect to the offset issue until August 28th. Looking at these facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff for summary judgment purposes, there's room for a reasonable inference of a waiver. There were 5 months going on when Liberty at least should have known that under Nebraska law, there was a potential for the maximum being paid with no offset being taken. And for 5 weeks, it had actual knowledge that no offset was taken before the defense was asserted. I'll reserve my remaining time.
Okay, you'll have 3 minutes and 18 seconds when you come back. And counsel, you have 17 minutes. Thank you.
Well, we're going to ask you a lot.
That's right.
We're going to ask you a lot of questions, too.
May it please the court. My name is Brian Spana, and my registration number is 17059. We're here today, and we jump to the heart of the issue that I think is framed in the appeal that's been brought here. What is notable, of course, is how much is not disputed in this case. I think the underlying facts are relatively undisputed, and I believe the application of Liberty Mutual's policy terms are essentially undisputed here by the appellant.
Well, Mr. Spinal, I've been looking at your briefs and the statutory provision. What does it mean?
Well,
Is he saying that there can never be any provision in the policy that prevents stacking?
No, I don't think he's saying
What is it?
I believe in the progressive case, what they're trying to do is to balance the competing interests between subsection 2 and 4A. 2 obviously contained at that time prohibitions precluding a carrier from preventing stacking under certain circumstances. And so, in our view, the progressive case is inapplicable here for three principal reasons. Number one, as we've already really addressed, the central issue is different. The central issue in State Farm versus Progressive was how an underinsured motor vehicle should be defined. That is not a defense or an issue raised in this case, and it is not a defense that Liberty Mutual has relied upon. Secondly, as we've just talked about briefly, the statutory language is different. In former 4A, it was limits, plural S, for uninsured motorist coverage under the insured's policy. Under former 5A, it was limit of uninsured motorist coverage. And finally, I think the judicial considerations are clearly distinct. What the progressive court and Justice Coates is trying to do, I believe, is adopt an interpretation that harmonizes 2 with 4A, and is very concerned about adopting an interpretation that doesn't run contrary to the stacking, I wouldn't call it outright prohibition, but the stacking conditions that former subsection 2 places. And so for that reason, he adopts the interpretation that limits includes all limits available.
Well, Justice Coates did say for a unanimous court, Justice Allison, I did not participate. As I read his opinion, it says basically providing that there are three reasons for his conclusion, even though both of them could be reasonable. One, because the statutory provision should be interpreted to harmonize the entire statutory scheme. The term limits of Section 609.4 should be interpreted as including limits of other policies, because such an interpretation avoids a conflict with Section 609.2. And then two, it allows stacking for determining the amount of uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage, but not for determining whether a vehicle is underinsured or and so forth. And three,
it's the judicial history, I think.
And the history of Section 609 supports the broader interpretation of the word limits. I take it you agree with all those reasons.
I do agree with those three reasons, and I have them all here in my brief. We can talk them in greater detail. But I also think that the example we were talking about here underscores some of the fallacy of the plaintiff's argument on interpreting Section 5. As I read 5, it says the maximum liability of the insurer under the underinsured motorist coverage shall be the lesser of the difference between the limit of uninsured motorist coverage and the amount paid by the tortfeasor. So even under their argument, there's still a right of offset. What they would like is the limit of uninsured motorist coverage to include all limits of uninsured motorist coverage that might be out there or otherwise available.
But what did the Brewers pay, or Miss Brewer pay, for the policy which she got from Liberty?
Well, was she
aware of the fact that there was a limitation or an offset?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a clear term and condition of the policy. And we have the reported decisions of this court going back as far as the Carlisle decision in 1997, upholding the right of a UIM carrier to offset for monies received by a tortfeasor. So clearly under Colorado law, yes, she knew or is chargeable with knowledge, since there's a duty to read the policy and understand it under Colorado law. What she did,
but answer this last question, and I'll let you go on. Are we bound by the Coates decision?
I don't believe so. I don't believe the Coates decision is determinative of the issue before this court in the interpretation of former Section 5. That as we've just identified, the central issue is different. The statutory language is different, the judicial considerations are different, and the example that we've now come around to, I think, underscores the problem with trying to graph Justice Coates' interpretation resolving a potential discrepancy between subsections 2 and 4A into an interpretation of 5. Because if I understand what's being argued, you would take the limits of UIM coverage available out there, and that would be 300,000 under the USAA policy for Maggie, 100,000 for Liberty. So you'd have 400,000. Subtract from that 100,000 received from State Farm Rona Diamond, the tortfeasor, and then the maximum liability of the insurer would be $300,000. I was a little unclear from the argument whether that's now going to be the carrier's obligation. If that's true, that interpretation is a wholesale rewriting of the policy that I believe is prohibited under Colorado law. If, I think, Judge Caporelli, there was a suggestion that maybe it was still subject to the policy limit, I don't see that in there, and I'm a little unclear whether the interpretation that the plaintiff would offer would permit that. I'm also troubled by the use of the phrase shall in that subsection 5. I don't know whether it would permit that sort of interpretation. And I think their interpretation, if it's intended to suggest that now Liberty would have a $300,000 UM limit when its policy was written and premium was paid for a $100,000 limit, is not permitted.
If Brewer should say to you, our maximum claim against Liberty is $100,000, forget the $300,000, does that change the interpretation in any way?
No, because I think at that point what you've done is read out of the policy the right to offset for the monies received by the tortfeasor. And even under their interpretation of 5A, that provision still remains in the statute and still has to have force and effect. And so even if they were to say, as they have, we recognize the policy limit of $100,000 UM is available, you couldn't just limit it to that in a vacuum without eviscerating the policy's right to offset for the monies received from the tortfeasor. And I think, you know, the Benson decision and the decisions going back, we cited in our brief at pages 12 and 13 back to 1997 and Carlisle, confirmed the right of the offset, even if it means reducing the recovery of an insured for UIM benefits to zero. And there are several decisions of this court which have permitted that. Now, parenthetically, you know that this statute is obviously no longer in force in effect. It's been repealed, and now as we stand here today, everything is stacked. So there is no right of an offset for the recovery of a tortfeasor. But that's a change in the law that obviously came judicially with the repeal of Section 5 and the reworking of the entire statute. So I think Judge McGahee got it right in the order on summary judgment. I think he addressed fairly succinctly the progressive case, but came back to the policy language and said there is really no dispute as to how that policy language works. The plaintiff has said that absent their interpretation of subsection 5, this language on its face would allow Liberty to reduce the stated $100,000 in UIM coverage to zero. as a reduction for the payment under the tortfeasor's policy. So there's no dispute that that's how the policy works. The question is only whether or not you're going to somehow eviscerate the application of the policy through their interpretation of former subsection 5 of the statute.
Mr. Spano, let me now ask you, is this what you're saying? Under subsection 5, 609.5A, which says the difference between the limit of uninsured motorist coverage, you're saying that that should be read in the singular as to each insurer, and that as to Liberty in this case, the limit of Liberty's liability here, even absent an offset provision, would be zero, because this provision by itself takes your policy limit at 100,000, subtracts 100,000, and leaves it at zero. You don't even need your offset provision. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the offset provision in the policy essentially mirrors this application of the statute. You're right. And I think you're absolutely right. That is our interpretation. The limit obviously is 100,000 for UIM. If there'd been no recovery, that full 100,000 would be available. Here, you're right. The effect is it reduces the limit to zero. And I would note that, you know, the phrase beginning the maximum liability of the insurer is also singular, and I think must be also considered when you're interpreting the phrase limit of uninsured motorist coverage to apply to that of a particular insurer, here Liberty.
Wouldn't that cause a problem, though? Let's say that we were in Judge Daly's example, where you have two insurers. We're reading this in the singular for each insurer. We're reading the word limit in the singular for each insurer. Do both of them end up with this offset as a matter of statute?
They don't, and we have a body of case law that says why, and it's because you have to consider the other insurance provision of the policies, which we don't have here. If you go back and look at the Benson case on which we rely, you'll see that the other insurance provision essentially means that each of the one carrier's primary and one carrier's excess, and this court and the reported decisions make it clear, only one carrier gets the offset, or it may be prorated, but you don't double dip, and the insured doesn't lose for that reason.
What's your position on the waiver argument?
On the waiver argument, I think, you know, what I've seen in the briefs is that the plaintiff has conceded that she and her undersigned counsel proceeded for, quote, some period of time under the mistaken belief that USAA could take a $100,000 offset under Nebraska law. I don't think that's really disputed. With all due respect to opposing counsel, I think he, like all of us here in Colorado, expected USAA would take the offset. That's what we're used to experiencing here. Waiver is the intentional relinquishment of a known right. I think Judge McGahee got that right. And I don't believe that, given the undisputed facts of this case, there's a valid argument to be made here that there was a waiver. Liberty Mutual asserted its right to offset within a matter of weeks after it learned from the plaintiff the true facts that the offset was not being taken. And the only issue I've heard pointed to is that we asked for, in the interim, some additional medical records. While Liberty was evaluating what the change in its coverage position would be, since it learned that USAA was not taking the offset, we asserted it as an affirmative defense. We affirmatively very quickly brought a motion for summary judgment. I don't think one can say under these facts, given the undisputed facts, that there has been an intentional relinquishment of a known right.
Did Liberty at any point deny coverage? Basically, you send a letter back and saying, we are denying coverage under this policy.
We did, and that was on August 28th of 08. That's found in the record at 150 to 152. And that's the letter from Christina Van Deren at Liberty Mutual when she first says, we now know the offset wasn't taken by USAA, so we are asserting the right to offset, and effectively then your recovery in this instance is zero.
Wasn't the letter that said, the letter from their side saying USA is not taking the offset in at the end of July?
It appears that it came in sometime at the end of July.
And then in the meantime, you're asking for medical records and things like that. Is that a question of fact for a fact finder to determine whether or not that what was going on in that month before you officially notified Brewer that that you were denying coverage? Is that a question of fact?
I don't think that rises to a material issue of disputed fact. I think you have to have more to be able to say there was an intentional relinquishment of a known right. I mean, what you see Liberty doing is obviously throughout this process requesting medicals. It's doing right by its insured by asking for information. But it reacts pretty promptly upon receiving information that this offset wasn't taken by USAA. Now, if there had been facts that said Liberty knew it, wrote a letter back that said, you know, we understand that USAA didn't do that, but we think there's some different circumstances. We're prepared to honor your claim. Any inconsistent communication like that, and we might have a material issue of disputed fact. But there's no such evidence in this case.
Really asking for records is not inconsistent conduct.
Exactly. That's our position. I don't need to take the remainder of my time, and I think that Judge McGahee did get it right, that the policy terms should control, that Justice Coates' decision in Progressive is not a valid basis to, on the grounds of public policy, essentially eviscerate this policy. I think the court's decisions going back to 1997 have confirmed the right of an offset. There isn't anything inequitable in this result. This is the coverage that the plaintiff paid for. This provision had been in policies going back 20 years, and the terms are clear and unambiguous. So we'd ask that the judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Let me briefly go back to the one point on the waiver issue, is that Liberty actually acknowledged coverage as of March 31st, 2008. So we are looking at a longer period of time than just the 5 weeks when their potential knowledge that USAA would not be taking an offset is implicated. So I don't think it takes a lot to create a factual issue, and of course all we're asking on that point is to have the case remanded so further discovery can be conducted on that point. I would clarify, I think I said this before, that we're not asking that Liberty's coverage be increased from 100,000 to 300,000. I don't think there's any precedent for that anywhere.
So do I understand correctly then you agree that subparagraph 56095, when it says the maximum liability of the insurer, that means subject to the limit stated in the policy?
Yes, I mean, I think there's no other reasonable construction. But at the same time, we've been going back and forth on this issue of limit and limits, and I think in common parlance, terms are often used interchangeably. People often refer to in the case of a single policy, what are your limits of liability? I find it difficult to believe that the legislature really parsed those two terms for purposes of subsection 4 versus subsection 5. What's happened now, and we've talked about how the progressive state for...
How about the comment that subsection 5 also refers to insurer in the singular?
It does for one clause in the preamble clause, I believe. But when you're talking about the phrase limit of liability, again, I think it needs to be looked at the way it's been construed for sub 4. You have to look at the statute as a whole. But I think what's happened in State Farm versus Progressive, you know, we've talked about the Supreme Court trying to harmonize two conflicting provisions. What the Supreme Court has done, either intentionally or inadvertently, is to create a whole new policy, a whole new cast for interpreting the entire UIM statute that kind of shifts the mode of interpretation of the statute to resolve ambiguities in favor of liberal coverage for uninsured.
Would it be inappropriate to conclude that the Supreme Court in this progressive case foresaw what the legislature was going to do in changing the statute?
Well, I wouldn't venture to assume that that's exactly what was in the mind of the General Assembly, But as a practical matter, I think if the state of the law continued as it was, we would continue to have cases looking at those ambiguities, and it could be that the common law was headed for kind of a bramble bush, and this legislature would have had to step in.
So now we have a provision out of the statutory provision which allows the stacking. Is that correct?
Requires, yes.
And the insurance company cannot or does not have any ability to limit that in any way.
Or to take an offset.
Required?
The insurer cannot take an offset.
Yeah.
Right.
Mr. Lichtenstein, is it correct that in the Progressive case, the court interpreting 6092 and 6094 decided that you had to ensure that they were not in conflict, and that if you did not harmonize them the way they did, you would in effect undo what is required by 6092?
I'd put that slightly differently.
Okay, how would you put it?
It was a conflict that had to be resolved.
Had to be resolved, and you have to give meaning to both provisions, and you can't have one provision render the other ineffective.
That's correct.
So they were in conflict.
Again, I think the opinions that they were ambiguous taken together, but I think that's essentially correct.
Is there a conflict between 6095 and 6092?
In what sense? I'm sorry.
In the sense that if we were to understand 6095 to say the maximum liability of Liberty under its uninsured motorist coverage provided shall be the lesser of the difference between the limit of the liability UIM coverage and the amount paid to the insured by or for any person or organization, etc., or B, the amount of damages sustained but not recovered. Would that conflict with 6092?
I think in a case such as this, where you're presented with required stacking, and particularly an out-of-state policy issued where there's no offset, I think one could look at it that way, yes.
That it basically, 6092 says there's certain anti-stacking provisions that are prohibited.
Right.
And if we were to read this, it would undo that.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
One other question. It's your position that this division of the Court of Appeals is compelled to follow the Supreme Court decision in Progressive?
Well, yes, I think so.
Good answer. Thank you very much, counsel. Thank both counsel for their arguments. It's been very helpful. This is a pretty sticky one for us. So we appreciate your help on this case. The opinion will issue in due course. Thank you.